Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. This Saturday marks the second Tulsa Roots Music Bash, a free event which takes place at the Guthrie Green, featuring a variety of world music-oriented musical acts from 2:30 to 9:30. The day will feature four internationally known performers, circus performance art, Middle Eastern dancing, Oklahoma craft brewers, and kids' arts and crafts. This is just one of the activities of Tulsa Roots Music. Each fall, they host a five-Sunday concert series at the Guthrie Green, featuring an eclectic array of performers, always in a free setting. Today, we hear about the bash and more about Tulsa Roots Music, a nonprofit music presenter promoting an array of eclectic music styles from alt-country, Cajun, reggae, blues, and world music to Tulsa through live performance. My guests today are Julie Watson, one of the co-directors who booked and promoted the popular All Souls Acoustic Coffee House for a number of years, which brought nationally touring musicians to Tulsa. She's also worked with the Tulsa Children's Museum and is a staff writer for Current Land and Tulsa Kids. Michael Koster is the other co-director. He founded and ran the Thirsty Ear Festival, New Mexico's premier roots music event, for 13 years. Also worked with the Santa Fe Blues Fest and continues to work in both Santa Fe and Tulsa in all aspects of music promotion. They join us today on Studio Tulsa. Mike Koster, Julie Watson, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is the big second annual bash, but you guys have been presenting free music for, about 4 years now. And tell us a little about Tulsa Roots Music. How did Tulsa Roots Music get started?
Julie, how did it get started?
So Mike Koster recently, well, not so recently anymore, moved to Tulsa. He and his wife moved to Tulsa from Santa Fe. And Mike had been involved in music promotion and presentation out there with a nonprofit. And he and I met here, and I had been fortunate to be involved with All Souls Acoustic Coffee House series. And Mike just had some really creative ideas. And when he saw Guthrie Green going in downtown, and the stage and the potential to really do some cool things downtown, we started brainstorming about ideas.
Actually, Guthrie Green is literally one of the reasons that Catherine and I, my wife Catherine, decided to move here. We saw the potential of this space. At the time when we came and looked around Tulsa and said, hey, is this a place we want to move to, over 4 years ago now, it was just this big empty parking lot with trucks leaking oil on it. But the plans were all in place, and it, in a weird way, it sort of segued with something I wanted to do, which was to present music, free music, internationally touring music, in a great public park. And I have to say, when the park was finally built, they did everything so beautifully. They really did it right. They did the stage right. They did the lights right. They did the production right. They did it right, and a lot of cities don't get it right. Tulsa got it right, and so the stars aligned, and here we are 4 years later presenting music. Actually, the very first band, it was the opening weekend, and the very first band that Tulsa Roots Music presented on the green on opening weekend was the Wailers. We brought the Wailers in, and so that was we had a couple thousand people down there for that, and we've been going ever since.
Well, you know, before we talk about what's going on this weekend, the bash, I'd like to talk about that idea. This is one of the things that, you know, when a city starts maturing, it's like free music in a communal setting is kind of one of those things big cities do, little cities don't. And I think that's to be really commended that you guys are doing this and that the city is sort of embracing this. It's the idea of a city as a destination, a place where there's always something to do that doesn't cost you money. There might be things that cost you money, but there should be things that you can do for free. This is one of those prime examples of that.
We've been really fortunate to have the support. One of our big supporters, obviously, is George Kaiser Family Foundation. And a lot of what we want to do is right in line with some of their missions. And we've been really lucky because the music we love is pretty diverse. And as you know, Tulsa's got a really diverse population. So it's been great for us to be able to bring music that appeals to everybody in town. And I think George Kaiser Family Foundation wants to see that audience there as well. So.
Now, Mike, coming from Santa Fe, I think that's a big tradition in Santa Fe. Even though Santa Fe is a small city, but it's kind of a big city in the way people think of it.
You know, I love Santa Fe. It's a great town. But I have to say that the last big public program that they did, where they created something that's similar to Guthrie Green in a way that it's a community center, which is the big rail yard down there, performance was sort of an afterthought down there. And so they did it in a way. I hate to say Santa Fe did it wrong, but they did. They did it wrong. And Tulsa did it right. And that's one of the reasons that I'm sitting in Tulsa right now, is that Tulsa did such a great job creating a community space where people can come down and enjoy a variety of different things in a way that us people who are behind the lines making things happen, in a way that makes it smooth for us, that makes it easy for us, that makes it a reality for us to be able to go down and do things. And so, yeah, it's a great blessing to have.
Now, one of the interesting things about Tulsa Roots Music is it's nonprofit. And really what you're doing is concert production and promotion. Most of the time that is always for profit. And even if you're in a public space, you're walling off a section of the park or you're putting big fences up. And one of the things I love about this is it's absolutely free. Everything you do is free, and it's nonprofit. It's really about another event for people to go to. How important is that to the two of you?
I think that's very important. And I think the music we're trying to bring in often needs that kind of a structure behind it, because it's not necessarily something that you can do on a hard ticket the same way if you were really in business for a profit. And one of the other things that we're trying to tie in more is an outreach aspect, where we're trying to have the opportunity to bring these musicians in and have them work with some of the underserved communities in Tulsa, younger kids, and sort of spread the word of what they're doing. So that's been a really neat part of what we do, too.
Yeah, Los Lonely Boys, which is the headliner for the Bash. It's a pretty well-known Latin rock band from Texas, blues rock, really,
right?
With a lot of great Latin stuff mixed in there. Los Lonely Boys rarely does any kind of outreach, but they agreed to do a program with A Pocket Full of Hope, which is an organization in North Tulsa that works with kids in some challenging circumstances. I think they're about 9 to 17-year-olds, something
right,
like that.
Middle and high school kids, and yeah, through art and music, theater. So Lester Shaw is in charge of that, and the Los Lonely Boys are going to do a workshop with those kids, and the kids are really excited.
Yeah, and down before their set at the Bash, the kids are all going to come down, and they're going to do that. So that's an example of one of the outreach activities that we're starting to do more of down there.
Well, you mentioned Los Lonely Boys. Let's talk a little bit about the schedule. When you're putting together the Bash, what are some of the parameters you're looking for when you're booking bands?
We do a lot of arm wrestling.
We do. We argue a lot about music.
We love a lot of the same things. But for this particular one, of course, we want to try to do internationally touring bands with a global feel for the Bash. And so we like to bring in things that no one else is bringing in when we can, because Tulsa has just no lack of great music venues, the Canes, the Brady, and we're trying to do something that maybe isn't a fit there, but is a fit for us.
And you know, the name Tulsa Roots Music, we talked about this off air a little bit. It's when you hear roots music, you expect to hear like a regional sound in our part of the country, you know, the Southern gospel, the red dirt music, the singer-songwriter tradition of our area, or blues, or Louisiana music, or Delta blues, or that sort of thing. And really, what you're presenting here is a real broad world music palette. Was that conscious on your parts?
I think the Bash itself, it's conscious that we're going global with it, that we want that global music. But really, when you think about the roots of the blues, for example, you have to go back to Africa. Two of the bands that are playing the Bash are from Africa, so the first two bands are African bands. There's a really interesting artist, Rocky Dawuni, and Julie can probably speak to him better than I can. But one of the interesting things about him is that he's an African artist, but he plays reggae music. So African music came over to the Americas, influenced the Americas, and eventually reggae came out of that. And then reggae turns right around and goes back to Africa and influences African music. So it's a big mishmash, mixed up jumble of great stuff, and those roots are just going all over the place.
And Rocky is really a great example of that, because you mentioned like the New Orleans sound. Rocky, his first song on the CD, you hear New Orleans in that song, and he's pulling from funk, he's pulling from American, Caribbean influences. So that's really great. And in the fall, we've done a series that maybe draws more from what you're thinking of as a traditional roots palette, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned Rocky Dawuni. Why don't we hear some music by him?
That'd be great.
All right. This is Rocky Dawuni. He'll be appearing around 4:30-ish.
Right.
We know how festival timings could go. It could be 4:30. It could be closer to 5. You never know. But the second annual Tulsa Roots Music Bash takes place this Saturday at the Guthrie Green, beginning at 2:30, wrapping up around the 10 o'clock. You can learn more at TulsaRootsMusic.org. But we're going to hear some music from Rocky DeWooney.
Great.
Music by Rocky DeWooney, one of, it looks like, six, seven groups you have coming in for the Tulsa Roots Music Bash. My guests today, Mike Koster and Julie Watson, the co-directors of Tulsa Roots Music. Take us through the schedule. Tell us who's all going to be here this year.
We try to create a festival vibe. This is really the truest festival that we have in that it's a one-day event. It goes all day long. And we've got four bands on the main stage. And then in between main stage sets, we also have performance art that's going on the grass out at the green. There's all sorts of children's activities and things like that. We've also got a later set up on the dock at the green, the Lucky's Dock. I'm going to let Julie speak to the specifics. But basically, there's music all over the place. Once something ends on the main stage, if you want to, you can go get a drink and get some quiet if you want. But if you want to, you can listen to more music in a different spot out at the green.
Now, is the whole Brady community basically participating in this, so it's kind of like a big, huge walk around, like the Art Cross and things like that, where you come in, listen to a set of music while the next band's setting up. There'll be something going on at the green, but you could leave and come back, that sort of vibe? Or is this really more of a real festival vibe where you're setting up your chairs and hanging out all afternoon?
It's a festival at Guthrie Green.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But having said that, we do feel like it's such a great location for the very reasons you said. And in the fall, when we do our Sunday series, it's awesome for people to be able to walk around and see what's down in the Brady District, because, as you know, there's so much going on down there now. So it's a good way. It's a really collaborative effort down there, I think.
Well, everything gets underway at 2:30 with a group on the grass that you were talking about. Before the main music starts on the stage, you're going to have things going on out in the grass, up at Lucky's Dock and various places in the park. Tell us about Calliope Circus.
Yeah, so they're local. They're here in Tulsa, but the two people that run it, Jen Paxton and her husband Anton, they are like the real circus deal. And Anton is the flying trapeze. I mean, if you see videos of him, it's really wonderful. So they work at the West Side Y, and they work all over town with youth, and they train them on circus apparatus. And they'll be doing some of that with some of their kids on the lawn. So a little bit of the circus to kick us off that day.
And then immediately after that at 3 o'clock, you start with Joe Driscoll and Sekou Kouyaté.
Correct. Yeah. And we're excited about that collaboration. Sekou plays the traditional kora, which I know Mike does a little bit. He's like the Jimi Hendrix of the kora, we've been told. So.
Well, it's this gourd instrument, right? This African gourd instrument. And he takes it and he plugs it in and adds distortion and fuzz box. So that's where and he plays like, you know, his technical prowess is amazing. So, yeah, he is the Hendrix of the kora, really. Really, really funky sound. And he got together with, it's funny because he speaks French,
right,
and an African dialect.
He's from Guinea. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and he got together with Joe Driscoll, who's U.S. born but lives in England and is a hip-hop artist. Joe speaks no French. So the two of them have this collaboration, and they don't speak each other's languages except musically. And they put together this really awesome hip-hop meets the Kora with a full backing band.
Yeah.
It's very unique.
It's awesome.
And it's interesting, you're going to have them playing twice during the day.
Right.
Which I didn't really notice until I actually started reading.
Right, right. So one of the things we hate is for anyone to miss anything we're doing. And we know everyone's schedules are different. So we love this idea. We're going to have them play the main stage, but not everyone can be down there or wants to be down there that early. And they're such a great talent. We wanted people really to get the opportunity to see them. So we're having them do a second, more acoustic set on the dock area, which is where Lucky's is on the green. So mm-hmm. people will have more than one opportunity.
So are you anticipating people basically just turning their chairs around?
Maybe. There's people all over, though. Really, we had people back there and people up front, and they can, yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
That's right. Okay, now we mentioned Rocky DeWooney. The English Beat is the other main stage performers along with Los Lonely Boys. Tell us a little bit about the English Beat.
Okay, so if you're of a certain age, you will remember the English Beat and their big hits back in the late 70s, early 80s. And they were part of what they kind of term now as the British ska revival, and ska started in Jamaica. And so in the 70s, late 70s and early 80s, bands like the English Beat sort of brought it back in. It's a punky, edgy...
It's sort of coming out of punk, and it's probably the best known of that would have to be the Police, right?
Yes, in terms of commercial success. And the English Beat, people will remember songs like Mirror in the Bathroom and Tears of a Clown, very upbeat.
Save it for later.
Yes, Save It for mm-hmm. Later. Mm-hmm. And Dave Wakeling, who was the lead singer back then, is still at the front of the band. And now they're based in L.A., and he's been at it ever since. And in fact, they're working on a brand new album now.
What's interesting about the English Beat, though, is the same thing that I like about the Wailers and some of these other bands that have been at it for a long time. There's a tendency for some bands to fall into kind of a nostalgia thing.
Play our hits.
Exactly.
We have our one song from the new album, and it's the rest of it's all the old hits.
Yeah, and the crowd that sees them is usually a crowd that, you know, saw them in 1984 or whatever it was. And the English Beat has been, like Julie says, when they reformed, and I think it was...
They split in parts.
They split into General Public and a lot of other bands. And they came back and reformed. But I saw them a few years ago at the Reggae Festival
here in Tulsa,
yeah. And what was interesting about them is they were really deeply into what they were doing. They were playing a lot of new material. There was something kind of fresh and real about what they were doing. And the crowd that was watching them, the demographic stretched from really young people, 17, 18, all the way up to, you know, people in their 50s and maybe even 60s. So it was a really wide demographic and a really good feel, and a band that has really, really stayed current and hasn't fallen into the nostalgia thing. So that's what attracted me to the idea of booking them.
And the energy is still there with this band. I mean, I think people will be up on their feet. It's fun.
Well, let's get a sense of that energy. Here's some music by the English Beat. My guest today, Mike Koster, Julie Watson, talking about the second Tulsa Roots Music Bash, which will take place this Saturday at the Guthrie Green. And here's music from the English Beat.
Just hold my hand while I come to this.
That's Music of the English Beat, one of four big acts, plus a lot of, you're going to have, what, you have belly dancers?
Got
you're going to have circus
dancers.
Acts. You got. I mean, it's a full extravaganza at the second Tulsa Roots Music Bash, absolutely free, Saturday at the Guthrie Green. And now, this is like one of the big things Tulsa Roots Music does is this one-day bash, but the other thing is the big fall series. What can you tell us about the fall series at this particular point?
This fall coming up is our fourth time to do it, and we call that Tulsa Roots Rocks the Green, and it's five consecutive Sundays with three bands each Sunday. We've had a lot of fun with that. Mike, what have been some of our favorite things down there? We've had some great music. Frightened Rabbit, The Wailers.
Yeah.
Beausoleil.
Indigenous was a great
Beausoleil.
One down there.
Yeah, Beausoleil is a great one.
Beausoleil, yeah. The great thing about stretching out through five Sundays is, as Julie mentioned, we have three bands on the main stage. Usually, almost everything we do is internationally touring acts. We also like to look around the region and look at bands who don't necessarily get booked all the time in Tulsa. There are a lot of great bands here in Tulsa. But we like to look around and try and pull in some bands that people wouldn't normally see. But the majority of what we do is internationally touring, and we've done the spectrum. We've done blues from the South. We've done, if we're going to do Cajun or Zydeco, we go straight to Louisiana for it, of course. We've done African bands. We've done Jamaican bands. We love the reggae vibe.
Yeah. We had Congos, which is a really big band now.
Yeah.
When we had them, it was great. It was really fun, but no one knew who they were, and now they're huge. So we've had some luck hitting a few of those, because budget-wise, that's what fits our budget. But we like to look for those up-and-coming acts that maybe haven't made the big time, too, because that's fun for us.
Well, how do people learn more about the Bash this weekend? What's the easiest way?
TulsaRootsMusic.org. If you're trolling the Guthrie Green site, they've got all our stuff on their site as well for this weekend. Yeah, those are the best ways.
Are there volunteer opportunities for people who want to be involved with the organization?
Yes, definitely. We would love to have volunteers. We love volunteers for passing out programs, hanging posters, helping us on the green. We like that.
All right. Well, I hope a lot of people come out. I guess last year was a big success, and I'm sure if we have good weather, it'll be good again this year.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you mentioned that. If we don't, which we're hoping for good weather, keep an eye on our Facebook page and our website, because we will have an alternate rain location to be determined at this time. But
all right. Well, the second annual Tulsa Roots Music Bash takes place this Saturday at the Guthrie Green. Mike and Julie, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
Julie Watson and Michael Koster are the co-directors of Tulsa Roots Music. Tulsa Roots Music presents their second Tulsa Roots Music Bash, a free event this Saturday at Guthrie Green, getting underway at 2:30. For more information, visit TulsaRootsMusic.org. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Janet Pearson.
It's one of the sure signs spring is here. Every year, without fail, a hummingbird scout makes his way to my deck and peers through the glass doors, hovering there until I notice him, so I'll drop what I'm doing and get the nectar buffet open. Soon thereafter, several dozen of his feathered brethren join him here, and my deck turns into a battleground. He's one of millions of avian aviators that make this arduous journey, traveling sometimes thousands of miles without maps or gizmos, relying instead on their own built-in GPS systems. They don't need to call ahead to find out about any obstacles along their route, because they already instinctively know that kind of thing. Nor do they need to consult a calendar to plan their trips. They just know when it's time to go. But they do need food, shelter, and water, just like the rest of us. And that's why throughout the year, many of us living under the canopy of the Central Flyway do what we can to make the trip a little easier for these extraordinary creatures, an endeavor that also provides us with front row seats to one of nature's most interesting wildlife watching experiences. There are four major flyways that birds take to traverse North America, and the Central Flyway is one of the busiest, extending from the Great Plains to the Gulf Coast and on to Central America. Those visitors in your backyard may seem like just ordinary everyday birds, but in fact they may have just made a life or death journey from a faraway rainforest or desert just to get to your backyard. Thanks to the knowledge and experience passed on by their ancestors, these frequent flyers know which routes provide the most dependable sources of food, water, and resting places, and which ones have the fewest big obstacles like mountain ranges and deserts. Their preferred routes also tend to have better weather and fewer predators. But these amazing navigators also are capable of modifying their routes on the wing if a situation calls for it. Unbelievably, some can even fly all the way across the Gulf of Mexico to get to their intended destinations. I've been watching birds come and go for many years now, and even after all these years, I'm still amazed and sometimes surprised by what I see. How can something as tiny as a hummingbird make it thousands of miles from its winter home to my back deck? I know I've got a nice place here, but it seems to me they could have saved themselves the trouble and stayed around Brownsville, Texas. And why is this adorable little creature so incredibly pugnacious? They're such fierce fighters, I'm surprised we don't have more casualties. I'm always delighted to see the wrens and the phoebes return here to raise their families, but I have to wonder why they insist on building their nests near and even on my house, ensuring that everyone is alarmed whenever someone opens a door. I don't know why, but the predictability of all these happenings is somehow reassuring. When the snowbirds leave us in the spring, I know the hummers will be here within weeks, if not days. When the goldfinches turn a brilliant, glorious yellow, having feasted on my sunflower seeds all winter long, I know they'll soon be leaving us. Not that I'm irritated at them for taking advantage of my generosity all winter long, only to fly away as soon as they turn pretty. When some visitors don't show up on time, the buntings haven't been by for several years. I can't help but wonder what became of them. The pine siskins that used to travel with the goldfinches also have gone missing. I just hope they found some winter home that they like better. Watching the birds come and go in the spring and the fall, it occurs to me that we're not so very different from them. We all search out what we want and need, food and shelter, a nice place to raise our families, a good climate, dependable companionship, even some fun and games now and then. These pilgrimages don't necessarily mean all's right with the world, but they do mean something's right. And most days, I take some comfort in that.
Janet Pearson is a former longtime op-ed columnist for the Tulsa World and is now a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed any of our recent programs, they're available online along with a host of other material on our website at publicradiotulsa.org. Just search for Studio Tulsa and you can look through our archives. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.